Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. Do not get weary of doing good, for in due season, we will reap if we don't give up. Let me say that again. Do not get weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you, Master. Thanking you for this day. Thanking you for this opportunity. Thanking you for this time in our lives, God, that you have drawn us to you. You have surrounded us with your love and your protection, oh God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Master, we lift up those who are traveling to and fro, those who are around the world, God, ministering to your people, Master. We ask, oh God, that you continually elevate them, that you continually bless them, oh God, in the area that they need blessings in. Oh, Master, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you look upon our country, God. Our country, the country that you have created, oh, God, the world that you have created. Yes, God, we stand in need of a Savior. We need a Savior. We need someone to save us from ourselves, God. We are killing ourselves every day, Master. And we need you. We need you, God. We need you to pull us, God. We need a shake sometime. We need a hosing out. Clean us out, oh, God. Oh, Master, we know that you can make us whiter than snow. And we just come in today just humbling ourselves to you because you are a mighty God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And we humble ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, we will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor because it's in your holy name. You are Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we say amen, amen. We know we have been talking about intentions, the plans. Just recently, I heard the plans of the House of Representatives. The plans that are in place have been discussed within the group. Usually the general public finds out after their plans are in the makings or after they have begun. We never know how the plans are discussed. We never see the objections from one to another as how they will address the plan or even how they will execute it. We never see that. We never hear the discussion. We only hear at a press conference every now and then a little about the plan and what the plan will detail. Yes, but it's never addressed to us completely, in complete detail. We never hear the complete detail of the actual plan. Yeah, for that year, plans, intentions, we all have them. You probably have your intentions lined up right now, ready to go. Yeah, you probably have that. But the real important feature to your plans is whether you have the master creator in the plan and not you yourself. Can I get an amen to that? Not just you. So let's look at Moses. Look in the book of Exodus. And here we see, I will paraphrase this, that Moses grows up in Pharaoh's house because his mother wanted him to live. So she placed him in a, it was a basket, it was like a log, as it floated on down the Nile River. And it appeared to the Egyptian woman who saw him, the baby, Moses, in the basket. And at that time, they knew that someone would have to nurture the baby. So the Egyptian woman, it could have been more than one, took turns nursing Moses, who was a Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So Moses grew up with royalty, not wanting anything. But at some point, he grew to a place where he could see that he was a Hebrew and that he didn't have the slanted eyes. That's what I call it, the slanted eyes, that everyone else in the house were Egyptians. Mm-hmm. So Moses began to notice the mistreatment of his people, the Hebrews. As long as he could remember, he could see a lot of mistreatment going on to the elders, to the young ones, to the women, to the children. Moses witnessed this. And one day, he actually witnessed a Hebrew beaten, unmerciful, and he just clicked. And you know, in our everyday life, we all have that one day. That's all it takes is one time. One day, one moment, one time, and you raise your hand up that this is it, that you've had enough. Well, this is what happened with Moses. And through his clicking, when I say click, his frustration of what he had been seeing, Moses lashed out. He lashed out at the guard and killed him. Beat him, beat him, beat him. Yes. Until Moses realized that he had got so emotional, that he was so upset, that he had killed the man. And at that point in time, think about it, people were beginning to look, especially the other guards, that he was killing, the way they looked at it, he was killing one that worked for him. Why? Because Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, even though he was not an Egyptian. Yeah. But now Moses' plans was to run. He wanted to run. He had to run. He had to go and hide because he knew that they were going to be after him because he had what? He had committed murder. Yeah, you can find this in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through 22. He had committed murder. Mm-hmm. And we see in this book, God found Moses, even though when he was running and running and running, God will come and he will find you. He will find you. You cannot hide from an almighty God. You can't. You can't hide. Running, this is what Moses felt was necessary, running to go and hide so he could find safety, so he could be protected, because he knew he had did something wrong. But God, Moses was special to God, and God wanted to show Moses just how special he really was. Yes, yes, glory to God, glory. Moses, one day, he heard a voice, and it was calling him, and it said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for where you are standing, Moses, you're standing right there, right now, on holy ground. Look at that. What was your intention? You were going to run. You were going to go hide. You were going to be living a life of ducking and dodging. But God, oh, you listen to what I'm saying. But God, yes, your plans and God's plans, your intentions and the intentions for your life that God has must line up. They must line up. They must line up. God hand picked up. Picked up Moses. Yes. His plan. God's plan. God has the plan for his glory. And he has plans for people that he has selected for leadership, to edify, to glorify him. And it's all through his plan. We all know that the story about Moses was an instruction. It was instruction. It was in detail in helping the children of Israel to get out of Egypt. Since Moses was right there in that house, he saw. Glory to God. Look at God. And so we just look at the beginning of how God moved when he was running. No, he was looking at Moses when he was a baby. Who you think sent him to the Egyptians? Was it just a circumstance? Was it Moses' plan as a child? No, it was the intentions of an almighty God. It was his plan that eventually came into perfection. We saw it. We read about it. God, glory to God. Oh, bless his holy name. We thank Jesus. We thank him. Yes, we do. Because his plan is so important for us. Yes. Listen at this. But God, he was the one that sent Moses to Pharaoh's house and allowed him to grow up in Pharaoh's house. Nobody could do it like the Lord. Nobody could do it like the Lord. Let's look quickly at 2 Samuel, and we're going to go with chapter 9 and verse 1 through 13. I'm going to paraphrase this, and I'm going to just tell you a little bit about the story. What was actually happening? What actually took place? In this particular story, we know that Saul always was running after David. Always. Saul's son, Jonathan, was one of the sons. Saul had three sons. And Jonathan became just like a brother to David. Yeah. So here we see in this story, there was a day that came, and it was always a sad day. It's a sad day when actually murder takes place, but it was even a greater sad day when the father and the son died, and they died in battle. And as they died in battle, they were leaving the son, the grandson, I wanted to say this word. Mephibosheth. Yes, Mephibosheth. He was the son of Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And so he was left. But he was being taken care of by nurses. There was a nurse that was taking care of him. So once she had heard that the father and the grandfather were killed, they were no longer alive, she immediately ran to take Mephibosheth and hide him, because she knew that the enemies were going to come and get him, and they would eventually kill him too. Or if they didn't kill him, worse, that they would enslave him. So she, the nurse, thank God for nurses. Thank God for nurses. Yes, the nurse, right here in the word, the nurse. Mm-hmm. Took him and ran. But unfortunately, he was accidentally thrown to the ground. And when this took place, he fell and permanently damaged his legs. Yes. But God. Mm-hmm. So when you think it's all over, I can do nothing, think about this. God has a plan. And his plan supersedes our plan. His plan supersedes our plan. Yeah. So David and Jonathan had a relationship that was just completely like brothers. Even closer than brothers. They were one. They were one in love, really. So once the news of Saul and Jonathan went out over the kingdom, David was hurt and sorrowful because of the relationship he had with Jonathan. So sorry became his middle name. He was hurt. He was grieving for Jonathan. But David was one who would never forget the love and the relationship that he shared with Jonathan. Even though Jonathan's father, Saul, hated David. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When David entered the palace, once he had became the king, he turned to the servants and he asked, this was the question David wanted to know. He said, is there anyone who has a part, who has a part of Saul or Jonathan? Just a part of them. Is there anyone else that's left? Any other family members? And so as he began to ask and asked about this, he eventually asked one of the servants, and the servant said, yes, my Lord, there is one. So once they went searching for this young man, they went looking for him, and once the nurse found out that they were coming for Mephibosheth, he was located. Yeah, he was located. David had found him. The servants were bringing him to David. And quite naturally, to him, he thought he had did something wrong. He thought David, who was the king, would kill him only because of his grandfather. Oh, you listen to what I'm saying. Only because of the relationship that the grandfather had against David. See, your children, your grandchildren, they all see and they watch what you do. They watch you. They watch and they hear what you say. They hear how you act, how you interact with others. And yes, your behavior does affect the next generation. So here we see, when David saw him, remember, David is the king now. And I could just see him. I could just imagine with closing my eyes how he was with his armor on and had probably one of the long robes that they would wear, and how he had the headpiece, and how he was really strong. He was a warrior. And so when Mesothelioma saw him, the son of Jonathan, he was frightened. He was terrified. And King David had to reassure him through saying, don't be afraid. Glory to God. Don't be afraid. How many times have we heard that? How many times have God, our Savior, how many times has Jesus said, don't be afraid to us? Look at this. He told him, don't be afraid. See, the plan that you may have, the plan that you may have executed, the plan that you may have in place, the plan that you have sit down and drawn, just may not be the plan that God has for you. Glory to God. Because your plan is to go and run and hide. Well, God may have the plan that he desires to elevate you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hide no more. Glory, glory, hide no more. Listen to this, listen to this. This is what David was able to tell him. He told him to fear not. I am King David. Mm-hmm. David said to him, fear not. I will surely show you kindness. Hallelujah. Kindness, Ephesians 4 and 32 say to be kind and compassion to one another. And this is what David is saying to him, that I am going to show you kindness. I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan, for your father, for your father's sake. I will be kind to you. I will show you compassion. So can you imagine? At this very minute, at this very hour, he was on the floor. He was prostrated in front of David. And David was able to tell him that he could get up. Remember, he was crippled. Yeah. What we would call it, we would say he was deformed. His legs. David told him he will restore all the land of Saul, his grandfather, to him. Every piece of land that your grandfather had, he will give it to him, the son of Jonathan, the only living heir. Glory to God. And then he went on to tell him, he said, and from this day forward, you shall eat at my table. Hallelujah. You're going to eat at my table. You're going to eat at my table always. Look at God. Look at how he can come and exalt you. Look at the plan that God has in place. Opposed to the plan that you may have. Where you're going to be ducking and dodging. You're going to be sneaking. Huh? You're going to be looking behind your back, looking over your shoulders all the time. Well, God's plan says, hold your head up. You are a chosen vessel. You will sit with royalties, and you will own the land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Yeah. So the plan of God is better than the plan that we have. The intentions that God put in place are better than the intentions that we have in place. Can you see the difference? Can you understand what this lesson is all about? So where are you with your plans, your intentions? Not just a season, but for a lifetime, have you had the talk? I said the talk with our Father Jesus the Christ. Have you sought his approval on the business plan, on the life plan? Have you come together and sit at the table with him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. Because he has to be the one that drafts the plan. Because his plans don't fail. Let me tell you that. Let me tell you his plans don't fail. John 1 and 29 says, look, the Lamb of God who comes and takes away the sins of the world. That's who I'm talking about, the Lamb of God. He has the power. He has the ability to take away all of that stuff, to forgive us when we go to him and when we repent of our sins. He has the power to put us in right standing. He has the power to put us in high places. He has the power to wash us. He has the power. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge, a strength, and a very present help. Are you listening to me? In time of trouble. Hallelujah. When your plan is shaky, when your plan is so uncertain, there is a plan that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has. When he went to the cross on Calvary, he had the plan. And his plan was to save you and to save me from our sins. Yeah. So when your plan and your intentions fail, when you have learned how to throw up your hands and just give up, there is a Savior that is waiting. He's waiting right there. He's waiting for you. He's waiting. He never leaves us. We leave him. He's waiting because he has the plan. His plans don't fail. No, his plans don't fail. Your plan, my plan, when he is not included, will not succeed. We have to include our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our plan. We must include him. In order to be successful in anything we set out to do, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must be first. He got to be first. We need to go into quiet time with him and talk to him about the plan that's on our heart, to see what he has to say to us. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come thanking you for this day, thanking you for this moment, thanking you for the opportunity that you've given us, God, to learn, oh God, to learn more about you, to learn how you draw us to you, how you have created the map. You have the plan. You have the intentions for us, oh God. All we have to do is come to the table, sit down, and seek you, oh God. We will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor in Jesus' holy name. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we say amen. Amen. We look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday. Yes, and we ask you to continue to pray for our sister who's traveling. Traveling in India. Yes. Able to minister the word of God. Be blessed. And of course, on Saturday at 7 o'clock with Minister Sadie with the children. Yes. Remember who you are in Christ. Amen.